You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to minister tonight. I started a series on Sundays that I'm on, a healing series, and we're going over individual cases of healing in the Bible. And we talked about blind Bartimaeus, who's no longer blind, he's healed. And the one with the issue of blood, he has no issues anymore. And the man sick of the palsy is no longer sick of the palsy anymore. We went through those cases in the Bible where those took place and took them apart, and we're going to stay on that for a while on Sunday mornings. But I thought I'd just kind of, you know, this kind of goes hand in hand with that, talk about healing in general and how it's tied into what we say and how we need to learn the speech that heals. Are you with me? We need to learn to have a healthy tongue. You know, a tongue that brings health. Tongue of the wise promotes health, the Bible says. And really, when you get down to it and you get into the Word and you take it apart, you'll find over and over that God promotes healing by His Word. That's where healing comes from. You know, often I'll just get scriptures out, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And I'll just go over it and over it and say, well, Lord, you're the Lord God that heals me. I make it personal. You know, it says He takes all sickness away from the midst of you in Deuteronomy 7:15. So I just say, Father, I thank you take sickness away from me. Psalms 103 says He forgives all of my iniquities, heals all my diseases. I say, Father, I thank you that you forgive all my sins and that you heal all my diseases. Are you with me? 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that by stripes you were healed. Well, if I were, then I am. And so I'll say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Hallelujah. Now, that's the Bible record. That's God's word on the matter. And it's not good unless it connects, if we don't make it personal. Are you out there? And so you do that with your mouth. You do that by confession. You know, to confess something is to agree to something. Did you commit this crime? I confess. You know, that means I agree to it. It's really, in the Greek New Testament, it means to say the same thing as. The word translated confess in Greek New Testament is homologeia. Homo is the same, and logeia is to speak. It means to speak or say the same thing. Are you with me? And so when we're talking, we're saying something, but beyond that, we're also saying something that someone else said. We're agreeing with what someone else said. To confess Jesus as Lord is to agree with what God said about Jesus. Isn't that right? To say the same thing that God said about Jesus. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, say the same thing, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. The 10th verse says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Woohoo! I just shout myself. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Deliverance, healing, wholeness, whatever the case is. With the mouth, confession is made unto. Agreement is made. A connection is made. An entering into the contract, the covenant. We're siding with God on this deal. We're going to confess what He says. We're going to say what He says, and we're going to confess unto what He says. That's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So there is the kind of talk that heals, and then there's the kind of talk that doesn't. There's the kind of talk that leads you to salvation. There's the kind of talk that leads you away from salvation. There's the kind of talk that leads to a good marriage. Do you know that? And there's the kind of talk that leads to a bad marriage. See, talking is paramount. It's important. It's how God made the worlds. We know that because in the beginning, the Bible tells us, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, third verse, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Simple truth, profound, we all know it, kindergarten stuff. Sometimes I think we need to go back to school. If you go through there, and every single day that He let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, let there be that. He said first, and then it always ends up by saying, and there was. In every case, God said, blah, 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 and there was. There was what? Blah, 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 what He said. There always was what He said. But whatever was, never was until He said it. Does that make sense? So you see a pattern there and a principle there, and it's the law of confession. It's in the very beginning of time. It's the way we know the world was made. In fact, John 1:1 tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by the Word, see? So when you follow that through and you think about it, since everything was made by the Word, then everything is subject to the Word. Isn't that right? I mean, the Creator, the Maker of all is God's Word. God, I know. But God spoke, and that's how He made it. That's the tools He used. Out of nothing, He made something. How did He do that? With His Word. And so everything was made by God's Word. Therefore, everything's subject to God's Word. That's why prayer works. That's why faith in God works. Because when you begin to believe God and you put God's promise on a situation, although you're looking at it in the natural and you know all the natural laws involved and you know all the process it takes in the natural to make something happen, God's Word overrules all that because everything out there was made by God's Word. And when you pray God's Word and you believe God's Word and you confess God's Word, oh boy, the master comes into play. And everything has to submit. And prayer changes things. It doesn't change God, but it changes everything else. Woo! Why does prayer work? Why does prayer change things? Because everything was made by God's Word. And so everything's subject to God's Word. And the reason we don't see as many changes as we need to see is because we're not praying the Word. We're just letting natural process take its place. We're letting sin take its place. We're letting whatever happens, happens, you know. Instead of whatever happens, happens, why don't we make it happen, Captain? Well, that's what Jesus said to do. I mean, He said to pray. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek, you'll find, knock, the door will be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receive. Everyone that seeketh, find. Everyone that knocketh, the door will be opened unto them. So we understand that prayer is a responsibility. It's not just a right. I think with every right comes a responsibility. Oh, would our government? I sure need to hear that one. But anyway, with every right comes a responsibility. And we have a right in prayer. But it's not just a privilege, just a right. It is a responsibility. You and I are here to make a difference. We're still here. We're not in heaven. We're going there. We're saved. We're washed in the blood. But why aren't we in heaven? Because we have a job to do. We're still here for a purpose and destiny. We're still here to make a difference. Make a change, shine our light, pray, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Whew. Did I tell you to turn anywhere? Good. I can just pick anything then. I couldn't, because I didn't tell you. Turn to Psalms 107. Let's turn there. We're going to go over some scriptures concerning healing, but as connected, healing as connected to the Word, connected to words, connected to saying, praying, speaking. Okay, let's keep that in mind. So we're talking about speech that heals, you might say, or healing words, or something along those lines. You know, I never spent a lot of time on titles. I spent a lot of time on content. I guess I ought to get some real fancy titles, you know, and maybe spend time with T.D. Jakes or something. T.D. Jakes got the best titles I ever heard in my life. He just amazes me. Forever a victim? I don't think so. Loose that man and let him go. Stuck at the gate. I mean, he gets these titles that just, and he preaches a whole sermon on it, you know. So, I don't know, we'd call this speaking health or words that bring healing or healing comes from words or speaking words of health, healing words, the word of health, health talk. Talk yourself into healing, you know, something like that. But speech that heals. Love it. Y'all learn that language. Everybody's talking about learning a second language. Hello. We need to learn the language of faith. Amen. A lot of us don't know how to talk the language of faith. I know I have to work on it. I get a little rusty at it sometimes. And I have to, keep going over it. This is not faith talk. That's not the way faith talks. See, we live in a world that there's a language we learn. We call it English here in our country, or, well, Spanish and English. But anyway, that's another story. I'm thinking of Texas, but anyway. We learn a language, and we learn to communicate and operate in this world through a language. That's how we, if you don't know the language, you can't operate, you can't communicate, you can't move, you can't. And see, we've left off the language of heaven. As Christians, often we don't know the language of heaven. We don't know heavenly talk. We don't know faith talk. And so therefore, we don't communicate real well, and we don't operate real well in the things of God or in the Spirit or in the Bible. See, it's important we learn this language, because language is how we communicate. It's how we operate. It's how we connect. Are you out there? I mean, if you don't even know how to ask for something. I remember in Mexico one time, I was on a mission trip here with a church, and several of us guys were down there. This is years ago. I think Bobby was on that trip. Bobby was down there. Remember Kenneth and Jerry Jones was down there, and I can't remember who else. Bill Livesey, I think, was there. We flew down some small planes, and we stayed in this hotel. It had a swimming pool, and we didn't bring anything to swim in. We went down there to build pastors' homes or pour concrete or something. I can't remember. Maybe it was roofs we were doing. So we stayed in the hotel, and every day we'd go help these churches out. And so Kenneth Hunt, he's in heaven. He's gone on to be with the Lord. We went to something like a Walmart. I don't know what it was. Gigante or something. I don't know. Big store there. And Kenneth wanted a pair of swimming trunks. And you just have to know Kenneth. He was just real country. He's a plumber. Did most of the plumbing on this building. He got in there, and he was trying to communicate. And he doesn't know a lick of Spanish. Nothing. I mean, zero. I could have told him to say, look, just say, you know, como se llama, my yama's Kenneth, what's yo yama? And he would have fallen for it. He wouldn't know. But anyway, he said he's trying to explain this to this salesperson about how he needs these shorts to swim in. And he is, I can't do it with all the motions, but he was going like this. He's going like this, swimming. And he was, and through all that mode, do you remember that, Bobby? I don't know if you were in the store today. He went through that whole thing. He was so animated, and I was just rolling. It was hilarious. He finally communicated. They figured it out. They go, I saw the light go off in their head, you know. He didn't know any Spanish, but he did his best to make it happen, to communicate. See, you're limited. You're limited in what you can get if you don't know the language. Are you with me? And I dare say a lot of us don't always know how to talk in crisis. We don't always know how to talk in the time of trouble. We'll talk the problem and not the answer. We don't know how to achieve or receive the answer, the language of faith, speech that heals, as it were. But God, see, God, when he brings deliverance and he brings health and he brings an answer, he brings his word. He does it with his word. That ought to say something to us. He makes things with his word. He delivers us with his word. Psalms 107 is a perfect example of that. What you see here in this psalm is a pattern of God delivering. Speaking of words, yeah. Okay. What you see here is a pattern of God delivering his people. He deliver them, then they get in sin, they get in trouble, then they cry out, and then he deliver them. I mean, it's a constant, constant thing that went on. It says the sixth verse, notice, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. But as you go on, you'll find that they got back in sin, got in trouble again. Then it says in the 13th verse, Psalms 107, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then they would get back in sin and get in trouble again. And then the 19th verse says, then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And the story goes on, and it says in the 28th verse, then they cried out to the Lord. Y'all see a pattern here? In their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. But man, this is amazing to me. The patience of God for one thing. The long-suffering of God for another thing. Just relentlessly loving us and unfailing love for us and mercy toward us. And we get in sin and get in a mess. And we cry out, and he, you know what? Shows up again. But if they would continually cry it out, if they had continually stayed in his face in a good way, in his presence in a good way, you know what? They'd stayed delivered. They would have stayed delivered. In fact, it says, notice this in his response to 19th verse, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. 20th verse, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distresses or destruction, you know, or whatever problem was. Well, we know from the scripture that what it meant is he sent someone to give them the word. He sent a prophet. Are you with me? Or he sent someone to turn them to God with a message, with a word of deliverance, with something that was said, something came out of somebody's mouth. This didn't just rain out of heaven. He moved on someone to go speak a message, to speak healing, to speak deliverance. Somebody's going to have to speak health if we're ever going to get healed. Someone's going to have to speak deliverance if we're ever going to be delivered. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. If we're all talking destruction, we're all talking going under, if we're all talking, you know, distress, if we're all talking panic, then we're all just going to be distressed and panic and destroyed. But if someone start learning the language of deliverance and the language of healing and start talking God's word, then God will send his word through that one person, hopefully more, and he will deliver, he will heal through his word. Man, I love that. See, healing is a result of the word. What was the greatest thing God ever sent to the earth? Well, one thing is Jesus. Amen? And what is Jesus called? The Word. In fact, I quoted John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Word's with God, Word was God. It was speaking of Jesus. That's John 1st chapter 14th verse tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Woo! Turn to 2 Kings while I got you here. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Let's look at a story or two here, and then we'll go over some scriptures. Is this helping you? See, find out what God says. Find out the word. Get the word on your situation. Get God's word on your specific need, whatever that need may be, if it's sickness or disease or destruction, or if it's financial, or if it's mental, or if it's marital, or whatever the case may be. Let the word enter the situation. It'll bring some hope. It'll bring some motivation, as it were. It'll bring some creativity in your life. You know, I love Psalms 130. Psalms 119, verse 130, says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple." Sometimes we don't see how we can get out of a mess, but if we'll let the word enter, if we'll just speak the word, if we'll get the promise, if we'll just say the promise and speak it over the situation, you know what will happen? Light will come. The entrance of that word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. All of a sudden, we understand how to make it, that we don't have to go under, that we can go over, that there is hope. Job 22:28 says, "Decree a thing, and it will be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways." I love that. But you're going to have to decree it in order for it to be established, in order for light to shine and show you how to get out of the mess you're in. Many times God will give us a promise, and with it will come instruction. You know, he'll give us something to do. We're usually a part of our deliverance. You know, he'll say, "Do this, say this, pray this. Quit saying that, start saying this. Quit doing that, start doing this." Amen? So in many cases, we're a part of that deliverance. So we need understanding, we need light, and that comes from his word. Woo! I don't know how to talk without God, but with God I know how to talk. Don't always know what to say, but God does. He knows what to say. What should I be saying about this situation? Well, I've been saying the wrong thing. I need to quit doing that and start saying the right thing. Okay. In this case, this is interesting. Elisha has now taken over Elijah's mantle. You know, Elijah was a prophet. Miraculous miracle signs and wonders, did all kinds of things. And Elisha asked Elijah to bless him, because Elijah was getting ready to go up in a whirlwind up to heaven. And he did. He went up in a whirlwind. He was separated from Elisha by a chariot, but he went up in a whirlwind to heaven. And he knew he was going to go up. I believe he's probably one of the two witnesses mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. Because he's taken up into heaven, didn't die, and he will come back down and witness, you know, in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. Anyway, that's another story altogether. So Elijah told Elisha, he said, "If you see me go up, then you'll get a double blessing or a double portion of my anointing." Woo-hoo. Man, Elisha followed him. He was stuck on him like glue. I'm telling you, Elijah tried to get rid of him. He couldn't do it. I mean, Elisha went everywhere he went. And finally it happened, and he saw him. And a whirlwind came, and a chariot came and separated the two of them. The whirlwind took him up, and that mantle fell out. of Elijah, fell off Elijah and fell on Elisha. Whew. He got to the river when he came back, and he rolled it up and popped that river, and it split, and he walked across by dry land. He knew the anointing was on him. It's interesting that you can actually count all the miracles that Elijah did. They're recorded. He raised a person from the dead and did several miracles. If you'll count all the miracles Elisha did, according to the written record, he did exactly twice as many miracles. He raised two people from the dead instead of one, and he did twice as many miracles as he did. In fact, interesting, when he died, he was actually one short on a miracle that would make it double. He'd only raised one person from the dead. But during a battle, somebody had died, and his friend threw him down into the tomb. And when the dead person hit the bones of Elisha, he came alive. And that made the second resurrection. It's all there in the Bible. You ought to read it. It's a good book. We often call it a good book. So anyway, you're saying, what does this have to do with anything? Well, stay with me. Be patient. He comes back, and the rest of the prophets, the school of the prophets, says, where's Elijah? And he said, well, he's been taken up into heaven. No, he just disappeared somewhere. He's bad about doing that. He'd be taken up in the spirit, and he'd wind up somewhere else. Let's go look for him. And he said, no, I don't go look for him. And I saw him go up into heaven. He's gone. They said, no, we need to go look for him. He may be stranded on a mountaintop somewhere. And he said, no, he's not. He's gone. Don't go. And they wouldn't listen, so they sent out teams all over the place. Elijah finding teams. And they all came back empty. And when he came back, they met with Elisha at this place called Jordan. Let's pick up the story, 2 Kings 2, verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the ground is barren. Good city, but we got problems with the water, we got problems with the ground. And he said, bring me a new bowl, and they put salt in it, and so they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water, and he cast in the salt there. And I don't believe the salt did anything. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it did. I don't think the oil does anything when you put it on someone. I don't think your hand does anything when you place it on someone. I don't think the water does anything when you baptize, but it is symbolic. Are you with me? In fact, when the Bible says about those if any sick among you in James 5:14, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It didn't say the oil did. But it was a symbol of the Spirit. And so don't think if you just, well, I'll just go pour salt in bad water and it'll be good. No, it'll be salty. Hello. But anyway, they brought a new bowl, put salt in. So he brought it to them. They brought it to him. 21st verse, then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed. Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. Notice he spoke over it. He said something. By the Spirit he spoke, but he spoke nonetheless. And that command, that word, is what healed that water. Without a doubt, that's what healed it. He said by the Spirit, he said, I have healed this. Well, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. With that word. And from it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So, 22nd verse, the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Ooh, I love that. That's good stuff. So, healing came by what he said according to words that were spoken. You get that? I think sometimes words are unspoken. We know what the word says, but we don't speak it. It's there. We know where it is. We know what it says. We're aware of it. But see, we got to speak it. I think of what Jesus said in John 6:63. He said, "It's the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." Wow, that's good, isn't it? But now let's take it apart. The words themselves on the page were no good. The words themselves in our head were no good. The words themselves weren't powerful to do anything or make a change. But the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now what he said, John 6, you can go read it yourself. He says, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens and makes alive. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. in their life. So if we don't speak healing, if we don't talk healing, if Elisha hadn't have stood up there and said, I pronounce it, I have healed this water, and it shall be healed, wouldn't have done any good. If God hadn't sent his word, they wouldn't have been healed. Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. If God hadn't said, didn't say God thought, let there be light, and there was light. It says God said, let there be light, there was light. So at some point, we've got to make this transition between feeling the pain, you know, and what the doctors say. God bless the doctor. We're four doctors in medicine, all those things. I'm all for that. Got no problem with that at all. But at some point, we've got to say we are healed. We are the healed of the Lord. Amen? And he is the Lord that heals me. And by his stripes, I am healed. Woohoo! Make it personal. See? That's speech that heals. You know, that's exactly what you see in Matthew 8 chapter. You don't have to turn there, but the centurion. Remember the centurion servant? The centurion came to Jesus, says, my servant lied sick, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, oh, that's not necessary. You don't have to come heal him. You know, I'm a man under authority, and I say this man go, and that man goes, and this man come, and he comes. You just speak the word only, my servant be healed. Speak the word only. 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 Just speak the word. Only. He knew where the power was. The power was in the spoken word. He didn't say, just think kindly on my servant. He said, speak the word. Speak it. Say it. Let me hear it come out. Jesus, if I can hear that come out of your mouth, if I just hear you say it, that's all I need right there. I know the power of what you say. Amen. Now see, that's words that heal. Okay, if you're taking notes and you want to follow along with me here, let's go over a few verses. Proverbs 4, turn there. Proverbs 4th chapter. This helping you? Yeah. Apply it. Do something with it. Use it. Use it or lose it. Proverbs 4, of course, classic passage of Scripture, starting in that 20th verse. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, or life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. God's words are health. We got to pay attention to them, amen? We got to let them not depart. We got to incline our ear to them. We have to hear what he has to say, and that's what we need to be speaking. That's what needs to come out of our mouth, amen? That's what needs to be deep in our heart. Whatever's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Matthew 12, 34. So whatever you got in abundance is going to come out of you. You know, you can spend so much time around something negative, and you can hear so much negativity, and everybody around you is talking negative, that it just tends to get to where you just that's all you talk. You know, and it's nothing bad about you or me. It's just the way we're wired. It's the way we're made. You know, we are made in such a way that we're going to soak up what we are around. We are eternally, forever sponges. That's what we are. And we're dirt. God calls us that. Not in a bad sense. That's just we're dirt, and seeds get in us and they grow. Whatever gets in this dirt is going to grow. So you got to watch what gets in you. Because if it gets in you, it's going to grow. Because that's what you are, you're dirt. And your reflectors, you reflect what you're around. It's all you are. You're not the sun. You're the moon. You're going to reflect the sun. You're going to reflect whatever you're around. That's where you're made. There's only one God, and you're not him. And so you need to get around him to reflect him. Because if you don't get around him, you'll reflect somebody else or something else. So it's so important who you hang around with, the words you hear. Because those are seeds that get into your heart that grow. Those are things you're standing in front of that you will reflect. Those are liquids, as it were, that you're going to soak up. Sponge, mirrors, and dirt. That's what we are. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you understand the way you're made and designed and wired. So God says, let's don't... Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in the season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Because he's not hanging around sinful, scornful. Are you with me? I love that. Because if you had, he'd soak that up, but he didn't do that. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner nor sit and see the scornful. Amen? His delight's in the law of the Lord. soaks up the word. Let's soak up the word, amen. Soak it up, so that's what's going to come out of us. You hang around people that speak English, you're going to wind up speaking English. It happened to me. When I was a kid, I was born into a family that spoke American. Texan. Texan-American. Has a little flair to it, East Texas. It's amazing I grew up speaking that same language. It's amazing to me that little kids that grow up in China don't speak Spanish. Or English. Or French. I know you've never thought about this, but these little kids grow up and speak Chinese. Are you kidding me? That is weird, isn't it? And it's pretty much the same way in every country in the world. France, they speak French. And wow. It's an amazing thing. And you know, those people aren't any smarter or dumber, or they're not any different. They're just people. Well, why they speak Chinese, we speak English. Or American, or Texan in Texas. Because that's what we were raised up with. That's what we were around. That's what we heard. That's how people communicated. That's how people got something. They would point and they would say this word and they'd reach out there and they'd grab that thing. And then we'd go, hey, I'll do that. Wawa. Then it turned into water. Hello. Are you out there? We picked up on that. Words get things. Words receive things. And we grew, we learned, and we got this association with words and receiving. And even little dogs figure out what outside means. You have to start spelling it out. Do you think it's time to take your OUT? Because the dog, if he hears the word out, run to the door. Understands words, you know, associated with getting things. Well, why have we become so dense when it comes to spiritual things? I'm talking to me too. You know, you understand this. We just don't understand the power of words when it comes to spiritual things. We use them all day long. We communicate all day long. We go. Listen, you go to that drive-thru, you don't just say whatever. You specifically ask for something. It's amazing. You drive around this corner and whoop this window and give them your money. You go to another window and all this stuff just comes right out of the window. Exactly what you said. It's magic. Out there. But that's just the power of words. We understand that's how we receive things. Okay? We have to say. We have to make this request, as it were. Well, God's words are life to those that find them. And God's words are health to all their flesh. Mm-mm-mm. That's good stuff. Amen? And on. In fact, you write notes. I just go over a few of these. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. I like that. You can actually tear down and cut and destroy with your words. You can call for that. Or, you know what? You can bring healing with your words. You can promote it. Now, I want to speak in a way that promotes healing, not that stops it from coming or stalls it or keeps it from happening altogether. There's life and health in God's words. Those are the kind of words I want to bring because he sent his word and he healed. Elisha, he prophesied over that water. He said, I have healed you. Amen. And that thing stayed healed according to the word of Elisha, according to his words. That's an interesting verse there, Proverbs 12:18, where it says, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. In the New English translation, it says, speaking recklessly is like the thrust of a sword, but the sword, the words of the wise bring healing. Healing. Oh, I love that. That's good. See, actually, if I'm not being wise when I speak, then I'm speaking recklessly. If I'm just saying everything I feel and everything I hear and everything I see, that's reckless talk. I'm not even thinking. I'm just talking. I'm just reckless. And you know what happens? That's like the piercing of a sword. That's just doing damage. We're doing lots of damage. You run across people like that. They don't think about what they say. They just say everything they think. And, you know, they don't have a disconnect between the brain and the mouth. It's just rattling all the time. And a multitude of words, there wanteth not for sin. Proverbs 13:3 tells us. So if you're just talking constantly all the time, never thinking about what you're saying, you're going to do some damage. Woo! That's powerful stuff. So, you mean I got to get a grip on my lip? Yeah, you do. You mean this is going to have something to do with the way I talk? Yep, absolutely. If you want a healing, if you want to get healed, God sent His Word and healed them, then you're going to have to get a grip on what you say about yourself. Even when you're given a doctor's report, you always need to juncture it with, I am healed in Jesus' name. Even if someone asks you how you feel, and there's nothing wrong with telling them how you feel, I understand that. You may feel a certain way, but you need to juncture it with, but I am healed in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? I don't really have a problem, honestly, telling someone. Sometimes I'll just say, I don't want to talk about it. I'll just say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. But if I'm going to tell them how I feel, then I'm going to tell them I'm healed in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Because that's what's going to bring the health and promote the health. Amen? Is the words that I say. If they are the same words that God says. If I'm in agreement with God, then I'm going to receive that. It's not going to bounce off when He throws it at me. He throws that health at me. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to catch it. I got my mouth open to catch with what I say. Boy, here's a good one. Oh, man, I don't know if I'll even tell y'all that one. That one's so good, you probably couldn't handle it. You want to hear it? You want me to tell you anyway? Okay, all right, I'll tell you. If you turn it, you've got your Bible, turn to Proverbs 15. I don't know. It's so powerful. It is so powerful. Proverbs 15. Verse 4, out of the New King James, it says this. You don't get the full impact of it. That's why I love going and doing the word studies, because sometimes a word in the Hebrew, Old Testament Hebrew, or in the Greek, New Testament Greek, sometimes it has a fuller meaning. And it's good to read different translations. I think it's very good to do that. I'm always comparing translations. I love to do that. I preach out of the New King James simply because it follows the King James closer, and for years and years, that's all I preached out of was King James. And most every verse I begin to quote comes out King James. So it actually, I can get a little tongue-tangled standing up here in front of you trying to read another translation because my mind has got King James in it. And so the New King James follows closer, and that's the reason I use it. It's not necessarily any better than the other translation. But the New King James follows the King James. It just takes out the yea, verily, forsooth, peradventures, and hithertos. Are you with me? And it doesn't behoove us, you know, so like the King James does. But having said that, sometimes, you know, one translation is better than another, but no translation is perfect. There's no holy grail here to translation. So be good to study. Find one you're comfortable with. It's a good translation. And then study other translations as you study. Having said that, a wholesome tongue, Proverbs 15:4, is a tree of life. But perverseness in it, in the tongue, breaks the spirit. In other words, if you've got a perverse tongue, if you're talking negatively all the time, if you're talking God's not going to do this and God's word's not true and God doesn't heal, then you know what? You're going to break yourself. You're going to kill yourself and you're going to break your spirit. I'll never get out of this. When is this ever going to stop? Nobody knows the trouble I see. Hello, and you start playing blues music and then you start talking about how bad it is. And you know, hey, I know it's bad. Life's tough. But God's tougher than life and He's bigger than life and He's better than life. And maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a month, 2 months, a year. I don't know, 2 years. I don't know. I know God's word is true. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you stop. Don't you quit believing God. Don't you quit saying His word. You know, I'm going to heaven. I haven't got there yet. Have you? I've been going to heaven for over 30 years. I've been going to heaven for 36 years. 7 years. 37 years. I've been on my way to heaven for a long time. I have never backed off that promise. It's still true. I hadn't seen it yet. I hadn't been there yet. I hadn't felt it yet. I hadn't experienced it. I hadn't been taken up there yet. But it's coming, hallelujah. And there's lots of days it doesn't feel like heaven down here. But my feelings don't have anything to do with the promise of God that I stood on when I was 19 years old, 1975. Hello. So maybe you've been a long time believing for something. I don't know. Well, your eternal life you're believing for forever. What's another year or two? What's another week or two? What's another day or two? What's another month or two? I don't know. Some things just happen right away. Some things take a little longer. But God's word is true. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good preaching, Pastor. That's awesome. Woohoo! Can you say hallelujah, somebody? Well, the New King James says wholesome tongue, but that word wholesome, aha. That word wholesome in the Hebrew is marpe, which is healing. That's what the word means. It means healing. In fact, the New English Translation says, oh, are you ready for this? Speech that heals is like a life-giving tree, but a perverse tongue breaks the spirit. Speech that heals. Oh, I love that. You mean I can talk in a way that brings healing? Yes, yes. It's called a wholesome tongue. New King James. New English Translation calls it speech that heals. Man, that's the kind of speech I want to know. I want to learn that language, don't you? I want to learn the speech that heals. I want to learn the language of heaven. I want to learn the language of faith and all of its nuances. I want to get fluent in it where I can speak it. When I say Wawa, Wawa shows up. Are you out there? But if I don't know what to call it, and I don't know what to say, and I just grunt, you know, there's nothing. God wants to hear us. You know, that's amazing to me. When you think about the power of speech, what you say, what comes out of your mouth. You look at those cases, individual cases of healing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, a blind man would come up to Jesus, hollering out for mercy, and he would say, bring him to me, and he'd get in front of Jesus, and Jesus would say, what do you want me to do for you? Is that your phone again, Michael?
Yes.
One more time, you're out of here, okay? Think about it. Not Michael. Think about it. Just get that phone out of your head. If the blind man is crying out for mercy, begging on the side of the road, he's standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Are you kidding me? You mean Jesus didn't know what he wanted? Are you trying to tell me that God doesn't already know what you want? Of course he does. He knows exactly what you want. He knows you better than you know yourself. Well, why did he ask him that question? Because God requires that you ask him. He requires that. How long do you let those babies grunt and point at the table? Oh, you might let them get away with it when they're a little bitty, but as they get a little older, that grunting won't get it. What do you want? No, what do you want? Hello. It's actually a sign of maturity when you grow up and you begin to ask for what you want. And we need to mature. Well, God knows what I want. Yeah, he does know what you want, but he wants you to ask, and everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that seeketh find, everyone knocks, the door's open. Jesus didn't say it's just going to happen. He said, you got to call. Call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not. Woo! See, it's imperative that we talk right, that we speak, that we confess, that we ask, that we call. And here it says, speech that heals is like a life-giving tree. But a perverse tongue breaks the spirit. You know what the NIV says, the New International Version says? The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue. I don't know if y'all are excited as I am about this. This is so good. The tongue that brings healing. Speech that heals. Man, I want the tongue that brings healing. I want the speech. I want to learn the language that brings that speech that heals. Are you with me? And this is the language here. God's word is the language that brings healing. God's word is what brings health. God's word is what he sends when someone needs to be healed. God's word is what is spoken when a centurion servant is sick that brings healing to that centurion servant. Just a word. Just speak a word. That's all I want is a word, and my servant shall be healed. God's word brings health. Now the question is, are you speaking it? That's the question. Now yeah, we say healing. It could be anything. You know what? If you want to get out of the mess you're in, if you want to serve God, if you want to get more turned on about God, if you want to, you know, ministry, whatever, you got to say it. You got to pray it. You got to say what God said. Do you know what God says? First find out, then get it in your mouth. Let your tongue be the tongue that brings healing. And let your speech be the speech that heals. You know, in Matthew 8, chapter 16, verse, they brought a lot of people to Jesus. If you just write notes, you can write down Matthew 8:16. I love that too. They brought, you know, we got to get to Jesus. That's what you see in the scriptures. Many people coming to Jesus. Well, they brought to him many that were demon-possessed and sick. And it says he cast out the spirits with a word. With a word. And he healed all who were sick. But how did he do it? With a word. Just with words. I love that. Body, be healed. In Jesus' name. Body, you are healed in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. I declare you are healed. Jesus bore stripes on his back that you might be healed. I claim that healing now in the name of Jesus. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord. I am not the sick of the Lord. He is not the Lord that maketh me sick. He is the Lord that healeth me. Amen. And turn your speech into speech that heals.